So there was all that fucking Keeley backlash because dude was in a picture with Doritos and Halo 4 and Mountain Dew. And now it's like anytime anyone writes any story about Halo and snack foods, either the commenters are like, game journalism, or the actual writer of the post themselves are like, this is shameful.
First of all, let me just say, Cool Ranch, really tasty.
But let's also talk about the fact that writing a post that includes talking about snack food isn't like...
Well, in what context?
You... Oh, man, that joke's too good for you. I want to put it on Twitter.
What was the context in this case about the snack food?
There's some 7-Eleven promotion where there's an app where you can scan products you buy at 7-Eleven to unlock shit inside of Halo 4, which admittedly is not the biggest story of the year, but guess what? There's people out there that want shit in Halo 4 that probably buy shit at 7-Eleven.
I wish the codes unlocked things in your Doritos bag. Like, the bottom of the Doritos bag opened up, and there were Doritos in the bottom.
If I got a Kiltacular in Halo 4, I want more Doritos to appear inside of my bag. That's the kind of crossover I want.
That's the dream I live
in. It's not like there isn't space, because they only fill them up like halfway anyway.
Right, there's tons of room.
Yeah. I'm glad we talked about the important things that are happening this week.
They had that deal with the double XP. Like, people wanted to know how you got double XP.
You may not give a shit, but there are people that give a shit. And don't act like that's all that we write. It's about Doritos.
Laffy Taffy, Fiddle Faddle.
We write about all kinds of Fiddle Faddle. We had that Fiddle Faddle Fez promotion. Fiddle Faddle Fez is what it was called.
Yeah, but they were cool with that because it was an indie.
You get puzzle pieces if you eat 10 Fiddle Faddles. Okay, cool by me.
My name is Justin McElroy, and I know the best game of the week.
My name is Griffin McElroy, and I know the best game of, like, the past 3 weeks.
My name is Christopher Plant, and I am without power.
My name is Russ Frushick, and I know the best game of the week.
Everything about you is the best. This is the best teams where we compete. We don't compete. But we talk about games that are competing for the top slot of the week.
Competing for our love.
Competing for our love, like many adopted children.
Yes.
I
wasn't going to say adopted.
I wasn't, not like that. But we have so much to catch up on, guys. Does anyone remember what our current reigning champion is?
I think it's still Dishonored Red.
It is. It's Dishonored. Revenge solves everything, apparently.
Unless you're sneaky. You know what else solves everything? A little bit of tact. It's not as good a catch line, though.
Do you guys have any idea how well that sold? Do you think it sold well?
Well, they said that it sold rather well. I know they put out a press release saying that it sold rather well. I don't, you know, those
Is that what it said?
Numbers. Yeah, rather
Bethesda,
well.
Bethesda Entertainment says...
Pretty good.
According to ZeniMax...
people would not throw Dishonored Red out of bed for eating Crash Cross.
That cannot be worse than the press release I got yesterday, which was... Our hearts go out to those involved in the tragic events of Hurricane Sandy. And if you would like the Assassin's Creed 3 official soundtrack, it's attached.
Yeah. I got so many of those press releases where it was like, hey, we just hope you're doing okay, that you're not underwater, and that you still have power.
Here are eight
screenshots. Here's App Spinner Crazy Town on iOS. Check it out. Keeping it classy, PR. Well done.
Good job, guys. So we have a ton of games to talk about this week. Well, probably the biggest... What do you guys say? The biggest release of the week.
Of the week is the fact that two of the four people on this call are homeless, basically.
Okay, well, but that's really more of a halftime release from our apartments.
It feels kind of trivial. I'll be honest with you. I don't care about games fighting because two of my best friends in the world have refrigerators just full of spoiled Lunchables.
This compassion when I got derecho'd. Where was this outpouring?
Your derecho left you off the grid for what? A week?
Yeah.
That's actually pretty That's a wicked long time.
It's like
time.
A long time. It was hot. Two or three months.
I forgot right about that already.
The derecho?
Yeah, it just didn't seem like a big deal because it happened to Justin.
Right.
Right.
And six people that live in Virginia.
That is the reasoning by which Assassin's Creed 3 is taking up more of my mind share than the storm you guys had or didn't have. It's still up for debate.
I'm glad. I want to hear about Assassin's Creed because, you know, I mean, I haven't been able to play a game. I've just been worried about, you know, important things. So I would love to hear about something, you know, trivial.
I've been so bored by the soup kitchen that I've been helping out at
that
I just want to think about something else.
I mean, sure, Marie Stoudemire needed me to help pump out the water from his parking garage. But
I will be.
It's not a big deal. It's not a big deal that they have to, you know, worry about being killed by you know,
werewolves.
waste water raiders, you know, kicking in their door.
I will be the Shirley Temple that delivers you guys from this debacle. I will be the one that lifts your spirit to buoy your spirits with how much I don't like Assassin's Creed.
What is up with this people?
It's very divisive.
The reviews I've been seeing.
They're kind of all over the place.
Am I the only person on the call that's played it?
Yeah.
Okay. I played a long previous session.
I've played the first probably 5 hours.
Oh, wow.
And without sort of, and a lot of people have been complaining about some story stuff in that first 5 hours.
I don't want to hear about story stuff.
And I wouldn't want to talk about it. But
okay.
It is just constant. The Assassin's Creed series has always had this problem. But I guess I figured, I had hoped that once it got to another numbered entry that they would have really revamped a lot of this stuff. It's just constant roadblocks to fun. Constant, like...
How many of those roadblocks are the British guy with the bow tie?
Sorry?
Is there a British gentleman with a bow tie?
There may be. There's a lot of white British people. I'm having a hard time sorting them all out. But, like, for instance, just in, like, the few hours I've played, I've already had to restart a checkpoint twice because my dude froze in a position and wouldn't move. At one point I got stuck under a haystack and couldn't get out no matter what I did. The only thing I could do was whistle. So I was whistling at passersby soldiers in the hopes that one of them would come attack me and break me out of whatever lock I was in.
You were hoping that some homophobic soldiers would cross your path?
They'd think, oh, well, it sounds like trouble in that haystack. I'm going to get in there and see what's up. And then I would be forced out.
Not, hey, did that haystack just try and come on to me? I'm a married man, haystack.
Hayophobic?
Go on.
It's just not, I mean, like, you're riding a horse.
Can you question and answer? Because I want to know what's broken.
Yes.
That's what I'm worried about. So when I played a little bit of this, I was, like, surprised how unfun it was to run around, which, call me crazy, but that seems like the central, you know, other than the assassinating,
climbing and running
are what I remember being so great about these games, and I had a lot of trouble doing it. I would just get stuck on stuff. So
what I am most worried about, and the reason that I love this series a lot, I even love the super convoluted dual storyline thing. What worries me is the central conceit of now you're climbing trees, because that doesn't, like, there is a known language to climbing buildings in Assassin's Creed. You can look at a building from 100 yards away and figure out exactly how you are going to get up it, or at least know, you know, okay, I can find a path up this thing. A tree, to me, like, you don't have that. It's not based on a horizontal and vertical grid, you know? Like,
it's thinner. I mean, that's like the obvious problem. Yeah.
It's hard to say because I have not climbed a tree yet.
Okay.
I have not seen a climbable tree.
Well, then the advertising for the game is entirely disingenuous, because the advertising for the game says it's all trees.
Without getting into the spoilers, yes.
Okay.
Yes, that is correct.
Apparently there are trees later on in the game, though.
There are trees later on in the game, but at the beginning of the game, you're not going to run into a lot of trees.
No trees.
Or at least not climbable trees. You will not have that ability. Anyway, that's not the thing.
Hold the fucking phone. I can climb a tree in real life.
I know.
I can't jump from a building 20 stories up and survive, though.
You... they've made they have secondary objectives in every mission going on constantly, and that is not new, I guess, but they made them so prominent that it's really hard to have a good time because you're constantly obsessing about the secondary objectives. And like when you fail one, it's literally like big red X.
Like what's an example of that?
Like okay, here's an example. There's a chase sequence, right? So you're on a horse and you're trying to catch a guy. You're running across and you're trying to, you know, to catch up with them, and you run into these like powder keg type deals that you can shoot with your pistol.
Yep.
Sometimes since there's no like aiming or anything, sometimes he'll take aim at the barrels. Sometimes there's no way to know if you're close enough or not. Sometimes
it's like an auto aim.
Right. So, but you don't know like what range you need to be at. So sometimes it just doesn't happen.
Sure.
Sometimes you tap the button and it doesn't fire. Sometimes you need to get closer before you can fire. Sometimes, like one out of four times, you don't automatically reload, and reloading takes like no exaggeration, like 15 seconds.
Well, that's accurate.
Right. Yeah. It is accurate, but
it actually took people that time. They made it easier because it used to take 3 to 4 days to reload a weapon.
Right. Sometimes you would a son would have to finish loading a gun after his father passed away that his father began. But sometimes that animation doesn't trigger, so you don't you get to the next barrel and your gun doesn't fire.
Yep.
So like, I could have just caught the guy probably first try, but because I'm fiddling with these secondary objectives that they're making like so prominent and seem so important, and you really don't know what effect having them or not doing them will have.
Is this just your own OCD projection?
No, are you just don't know.
I have no DNA fart points. Like, does it really matter?
I have no value. I have no like I have no metric for what getting them does. Like, I don't know what it's yeah. worth. So
does
it's hard
it unlock
for me
the real ending?
Like, to I pass mean, it up. Like, you're... I don't know.
This could be the war on the line. Like,
but that's
Americans
just like a
lose.
Small thing. You're constantly getting hung up on like little edges, and the controls are still pretty convoluted, even though they're supposed to be more streamlined in Assassin's Creed. Like, you're always, to me anymore, the perennial like Assassin's Creed moment is I'm gonna leap out and stab a fool. Oh wait, I just bumped into him, and there's a saber in me. That's like the Assassin's Creed like essential gameplay loop at this point. And I'm sure that there are fun parts beyond where I'm at. I'm sure at some point it will be an open world that I can cruise around in and do some assassinations and do some things that I like about the series. But so far, everything I've been in 3 instant fail stealth missions so far.
Barf.
Yeah, it is barf-tastic. You've been spotted. You lost synchronization. You got too far from the guys you're supposed to eavesdrop on. You lost synchronization.
I'll still play anything, it, though.
I want to be clear. Like, I'm only saying negative stuff, and that's just because so far my experience has been... Yeah, right. And hopefully that will change. I will say, though, like, the environments are, like, dazzling. They are absolutely jaw-dropping. Every adjective I could heap upon them, they are fantastic.
Like What Dreams May Come level, or what are we talking about?
We're talking about, it feels like time travel, basically. I feel like I'm there.
Okay.
You are there. And the sound design is amazing, too.
And they've you would know about time travel because you have experience already.
Right. I've been through that before. They've got a sound for when you're stepping on snow that it is astounding. It sounds exactly like stepping on snow.
I don't think you need time travel to know what that sound sounds like.
It sounds exactly like stepping on snow.
Yeah, there you go. We didn't even need a machine to do that. We have our own, what is it called? Gaffer? No.
So,
Foley artist.
That's Assassin's Creed 3. I'm hoping that I'll be able to... I don't even like want to submit it for like official consideration this week until like some of us have played it. And I've gotten a little deeper into it. Is that, but I don't know where that fits in with like
we'll
our
see,
rule
we'll
set.
We'll see how busy the next few weeks are.
we might.
Yeah, between Halo 4 and some other ish, we might have time to come back to it.
Sneak it in.
Okay.
What game am I bringing?
I don't know. Did you play anything this week?
We're not bringing individual games anymore. Oh, that's right. Not our flavor. Yeah.
Well,
that's true.
Well, how about next up we talk about a game I played?
Okay, let's do that.
I played a game called Hotline Miami.
Ooh. Hotline.
Hotline Miami. In the game, you play as basically a serial killer. But you're just at the beginning of the game. It takes place in 1980s Miami. I guess I should do some scene setting.
Yeah, please.
Takes place in 80s Miami. You
exterior, are, day, Miami, 80s, guns.
Cocaine.
Great.
Cocaine.
Our final draft Cubans. Pro is being put to good use. So it takes place in the 80s. You are a do-nothing punk living in a crappy apartment. And you start getting threatening voicemails that you need to go about killing people. And then you do that. Each mission is a voicemail, and then you go to a location, and then you kill lots of people with a variety of weapons in really violent, awful ways. And the game is kind of a try-and-repeat game where you find out the exact fastest, smoothest way to kill everything without being killed because it's basically one-hit kill. So if somebody shoots you, you're done.
Oh, wow.
So you bust in a door, you grab, the nearest weapon, you jab it through someone's neck, you steal the gun, you shoot three people who are coming to get you, you run around, the back entrance and then surprise the other two guards and take them out and the mission is over.
You
like,
turn
when
the crank.
Done well, a mission can take like a couple minutes, but you play it for hours.
You turn the crank and hit the plank and you shoot the ball right down the chute. Yeah,
that's how it goes.
Awesome. I know how that ends, by the way. Game. I don't want to spoil it for anyone. The mouse gets trapped.
The great thing about this is
I thought you were doing
I
thought you were doing Grape Escape, which would have been much more appropriate.
Oh my god, Escape is getting so much attention lately.
You're Ape and our cooperative. We're just doubling up on board game humor. So that's the really basic gist of it. It is, I think, incredibly subversive about video game violence, despite being one of the most violent 2D games I've ever seen.
Well, okay, so we discussed what was the game? The GTA style Retro City Rampage.
Yeah, it is the exact opposite. It's all meat.
Because graphically, it looks very similar.
It looks like a 8 or 16-bit take on GTA.
Yeah.
Top-down perspective and everything. The difference being there are very few, if any, references to other games. There are references to movies, but it's a gameplay that you haven't played anywhere before. Somebody came up with a game mechanic, and they made a game out of it instead of just stealing or borrowing, yeah. 20 different games.
I don't totally understand. So it's top-down.
Top-down.
And you're using a mouse to,
And you use a mouse to aim, and you use WASD to move around.
Okay.
You right-click to pick up a weapon. And then you left click.
Okay, we're getting a little too nitty gritty here.
The nitty gritty is important because the nitty gritty is the reason I didn't like it very much.
And you can the other ability you have is basically to push a door open into people to stun them.
Okay, so open a door is your other ability.
Yeah, and open a door, pick up weapon, and use weapon.
Guys, I'm starting to think I could be a serial killer. I'm starting to think I'm cut out to be a serial killer and an assassin.
So Justin didn't like it.
What's the matter with it, Justin?
I did not play it for very long, but I had a real hard time getting past the controls, which I thought were really, really pretty poorly handled. The fact that it didn't have controller support from the jump is like crazy to me. It is to give you a perhaps more easier to grok metaphor. It's like a dual stick shooter, if the right stick was mapped to a mouse and you didn't shoot, you had to do melee attacks. Like it, I found it really hard to get a hang of it.
That does sound worrying.
I do think it takes some getting used to. Honestly, having played the game, I would not want to play it with a controller.
Why?
Because I think that there's something very specific about the sensation of aiming all these things precisely with it and pointing at stuff that I felt like I was like, I don't know how to describe it. I felt like I was like grabbing a knife and then having to zing around and like actually throw it at someone.
But I feel like using the right analog stick would do that.
This is awful, and I know this is bullshit.
Boy, the PC like snobbery just does not
I know.
Take
when did
long.
Chris Pine become the leader
well,
of
when he spent $3,000 on a gaming PC, that's when it happened.
No, I feel like it would be too easy. I feel like these controls capture the speed of it so much better.
the crappier controls, are you saying?
For the casual console soft core.
Yeah, I hate all of them, just so you know. I just want it to be on record. But I understand why you wouldn't like it. I would say definitely give it a try a little bit more. Mm. I would finish two levels. I think you would have it by then.
You know what makes me sad is that I'd want to play it on my MacBook Air because it's like lo-fi, like FTL, but it sounds like I can't.
It's a PC game.
Sounds
but
like
it's coming to Mac.
Oh, and it's not on Mac, right.
It's coming to Mac very soon.
Man, FTL is good.
You could play it with
Man,
it.
It's a good I'll just keep playing FTL. I don't mind.
Can we talk about Need for Speed Most Wanted? Anyone
no,
play that, Jim?
No, we're not talking about that game.
Yeah, yeah, I played that
wait,
game.
No.
Yeah,
Hold on.
No, I've been playing that game in the storm. I've been playing it on Vita.
Didn't we talk about this game already?
No.
Oh, okay.
Would you say this is your game of storm?
This is if I had to choose one game, Game of Storm, Wait, Need for Speed Most Wanted on the Sony PlayStation Vita.
Gentlemen, can't we take a little break from video games? We've been talking
about
two video
let's
games
goose
for a
while. Let's goose the break and let's talk about
guys,
really important stuff.
We should.
Can I tell you how I got here?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, we're going to battle stories for a second.
Okay, so here's how I got here. So in case you don't know, I live in Manhattan and the power went out on
where exactly do you live?
I live in the West Village.
No, more so specifically than that.
I live right next to Maurice Stoudemire.
Can you give me an address and an apartment number?
I live at... Blah, 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 at blah.
Awesome. Fans, if you can go there...
where are the locks
I live
on
a
your
block away from the water of the Hudson.
Where is the secret rock that you hide your key in?
Underneath the rock. Yeah, so I had to walk to Manhattan yesterday to try to get some power and a hot shower and all that stuff. So this morning, I woke up and I'm like, I'm going to walk from Carroll Gardens in Brooklyn to Midtown Manhattan. This will take like 2 or 3 hours. It'll be fun. It'll be an adventure. I walk outside. I make it like 5 blocks, and these two mysterious men pull up in an SUV, and I'm like, you're going to Manhattan? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, get in the car now! And I was like, what? No. And I'm like, no, get in the car. And I was like, oh, yeah, there's a rule that only cars with 3 or more people can go into Manhattan today. So they needed a third person. So I trusted these two very
Are
strange
you
people.
Fucking kidding me?
So
everyone's doing
I thought
it.
That living in New York was supposed to make you, like, hard
make
and
you
crafty.
Hard and tough. Have you ever watched TV?
Did they have balloons? Like, so, what was your...
It was in a van. They had
well,
candy.
Here's where it gets stranger. So
they were
the
clean
car.
Shaven.
I get in this SUV with shaded windows.
Oh, my God.
So I get into this SUV, and they both have very unusual accents. And I start talking to them, and what I glean is they didn't know each other before, but they're talking so much that it feels like a fake story they had been rehearsing. Or they're like, oh, yeah, great to see you. You're from Texas? I am. They have lots of cows there. And it's like, oh, no, this is what they do to make me comfortable until we get to the, like.
Yeah.
And then what I find out is one guy is from Dallas, but he's an actor, so he just has an affected voice. But the other guy is from some country in, like, Eastern Europe, and I can't place it. And I'm like, hey, friend, where are you from? And he's like, oh, I didn't want to tell you because of the day and all. And I'm like, what? Where are you from? And he's like, I'm from Transylvania. And then he turns around and he looks at me while he's driving. And I swear to God, his face is just a pile of bone and flesh. There is no meat. It's all hollowed. I mean, he looked like a nice man, but it's just these rigid,
a nice undead man
bones, with and then dark hollows under his eyes. And he's like, "Yes, Transylvania." And I was like, "Oh, that's really funny because I watched Dracula last night."
Oh, and that's like, a good thing that then, I'm sure then, that nobody from Transylvania has ever been told in a polite conversation.
Well, then he said, "Yeah, it doesn't paint our country in a very good way. I had to move out when I was very young because of the dictatorship and live in Germany where we were not welcome. I moved to New York 16 years ago and now I call it my only home."
Well, frankly, based on that, it sounds like Dracula does paint their country in a rather good way in comparison. They've got castles.
That is true.
Yeah. They've got animal life. Whereas, you know, so the alternative, the reality
evil,
is
horrible,
horrible dictatorships.
Yeah, maybe awful. A few ladies get bit on the neck. It's for the greater good compared. I think
that's
it,
just passion.
I think. Yeah. I think. It's
but yeah, I felt awful. But then I found out that he makes massage oils and he sells them to supermodels.
Yep. Out of it's human great. Fat.
And then the actor went, oh, you work in video games? Yeah, I audition at this place called Rockstar all the time. They have this new game coming out. And I was like, yeah. And he's like, yeah, new game that I auditioned for. It was called, I'm like, yeah. And he's like, man, I don't remember it.
Son of a bitch.
Ping Pong Alley 2.
Yeah, I'm going to smack this ball so good. How was that, guys? Another take? Here comes a big sweet spin. How was that? Did you like it? More passion. Gonna paint the line.
I think it was probably for Oni. Oni, you got to get out. You got to rescue your sister, Oni, too.
I thought you said Odie, like the dog from Garfield.
Yeah, that
Rockstar's making a game starring Odie the dog from Garfield. He's addicted to heroin. Nermal's his supplier.
Oh, man. She's so on downers.
Well, that's far more interesting than mine. I just had to walk down 23 flights from my apartment, which is now just sitting in the sky in complete darkness. It's really kind of depressing.
Have you guys gotten estimates for getting your utilities back?
They're saying Friday or Saturday. Today we're recording this on Thursday. So, but so far we've been out. So the power went out on Monday night. So we're going.
Where are you guys staying now?
I mean, now I'm staying in Carroll Gardens, which is in Brooklyn.
And I'm staying with my girlfriend's dad and his wife. So
how is that?
That's an interesting step in our relationship. Can't say I had it on the calendar, penned in, but, you know, the alternative could be a lot worse.
At what point in a, like, multi-day stay do they ask about kids?
Oh, boy. No, he's been all right about that, but it's been a little intense at times. It's hard to live in a living room for an extended period of time. I feel like I'm a homeless person or a college kid.
What is the what's the vibe like there? Is it people trying to get back to normal, or is it?
I think the city is broken in half right now. It's sort of
they're the people above 26th Street.
The haves and the have-nots. If you've seen what was that movie with Butcher Bill and the you know what I'm talking about?
Gangs of New York.
Thank you. If you've seen Gangs of New York, it's pretty much that, because essentially at 34th Street there's a giant wall of darkness and there's no power beneath it. And those people are living hand-to-mouth from food trucks, whereas everyone else is just going to Sparrow's and having a good time. Yeah. So it's
the 1%ers really at Sparrow's.
Yeah, the 1%ers at Sparrow's.
And it's weird seeing how people react. Like, I was walking around the day after the storm, and I smelled this just a delicious, amazing, meaty smell. And I turned the corner, and there is a sign that says free meatballs and tri-tip steak.
Oh.
And I turn, and it's like a kebab shop. And they would just give us all the meat because they had to empty the fridge in return for tips.
That's nice.
Yeah. So it's
not
like,
really
so
free.
That's
kind of like saying the museum is free because they guilt you into it.
No way I'm paying Neil deGrasse Tyson. He's doing just fine.
I'm coming to New York next week. Are you guys going to have it all fixed up for me by the time I get there?
For you, yes.
It basically just sucks living in a city that's hamstrung, which is to say, I don't want to say this.
That isn't New York for the past 60 years. This is what all cities are like.
You want to talk about Chicago was under like 6 feet of snow last winter for close to 4 months. It was the biggest bummer ever.
Oh, that's Chicago.
Chicago. Yeah. Do you guys want to? Can we talk about games
Let's
again?
Let's talk about
Need for Speed.
Is the pool break? Is the pool break over?
The pool break is over.
Just tell me the McKittrick Hotel is okay, so I don't have to worry about it anymore. Tell me they're fine.
I've been wearing the mask as I run around in the darkened streets at night from Sleep No More.
The whole city is Sleep No More.
It is.
Everybody.
I just go up to people and do dance moves. They love it.
So, guys.
Yeah.
Need for Speed Most Wanted is really, really, really good.
Okay, so here's the deal. Chris Plant feels a little. He's been like crowing about this game for months, and then it came out, and now he's a little down about it.
I love it, but you have to know when something you love has a few problems.
So you got to know when to hold things. The things that you picked out in your review are not wrong. Things like the fact that there's a ton of cars in the game, and to find a car, you just have to find it in the map, and then you use it, and then you can jump back to it at any time.
You have to jump back to it.
That's crazy.
What?
You find the car in the street. It's in like a barn somewhere. The only way to reuse that car, it automatically teleports you back to the barn. Why does that make any sense?
Yeah. Well, there's several locations for each
multiplayer
car.
There's three tops.
Yeah. So there's that. So it has boost. Like every other Burnout game had boost.
That's
you get
good.
Boost for like driving in oncoming traffic and doing near misses and slipstreaming and crashing cars. But you have to, it's one of the unlockable, customizable parts of the
car.
That's
ridiculous.
And you have to do it for every single car.
You have to do it for each car. Which basically just means when you find a car, the first race you basically have to do you is lose. The one that unlocks the boost for that
but
car.
You have to drive to every race at least once, so that first race could be 6 miles away.
Which you pointed that out. That part does not bother me so much, because there really is so much to do, and ultimately it's just more driving to get from event to event. Like, I think it would kind of be...
How much have you played?
I've played it a lot.
Pretty old.
It hasn't gotten old for me yet. I just think if you were choosing these events from a menu, then the whole thing about it being in an open world would be pointless, because nobody would drive. Everybody would just choose stuff from a menu.
That's accurate.
Yeah, I follow.
It doesn't bother me, because when I'm driving to events, I will find, like, two or three hidden things along the way, whether it be, like, a billboard or a new car.
KFC? Is the Levi's store in?
Huh?
Is the Levi's store in it, or KFC?
Yeah, you can go to KFC and eat. Okay. Your car will eat chicken to get speed points.
Awesome.
Speed points are non-redeemable for anything in the game.
So, those are the things that the game's problems are all based around its interface. And Chris, you said in your review that you kind of hope that they can be
fixed, and
maybe they can. Maybe they're design choices, but the core game itself is phenomenal. Last time I was trying to think of the last time I had this much fun playing a racing game, and it was the Burnout games. It just feels great. Each car feels totally different, and the events, each car has 5 events based around sort of the strengths of the car, or not the strengths but the attributes of the car,
like the one that can drive.
Well,
you'll get a buggy, like a four-wheel drive buggy, and that will have you like driving around in mud pits and stuff the Formula One Ford will just be like a big straightaway.
Yeah, the Ford trucks were my favorite. The Ford truck gets
a top speed of like 95 miles an hour, but like it takes so long to accelerate up to that point, so you are basically, once you get it there, just nursing your speed as much as you possibly can. The event types are really cool. My favorite is the speed run one, where you have to you do a race from point A to point B, and the whole time it's tracking your average speed for the race, and what average speed you finish at is what you clock. So you're basically having to make sure that you are going as fast as you possibly can all the time.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's really cool, and just the normal races feel great. The art of, like, you know, winning a race while simultaneously taking out your opponents, just like in Burnout, like, is in rare form here. The kind of bummer thing is that there's no crash cam.
Right.
Yeah. The crashes are not even close to... I would even say the maybe most wanted. The crashes are very simple.
Yeah. This is what I don't get about Need for Speed Most Wanted, because I feel like, essentially, it's paradise, right? It's Burnout Paradise. But it feels like a lot of the things that I found charming about Burnout Paradise, which were like, well, it's bright and kind of silly and lighthearted. But looking at this in like demos and stuff like that, it looked like very charmless and dry and serious.
There are exceptions.
I think it's an eye-searingly beautiful game. I mean, especially when you're going like 160 miles an hour and just the world, you just get crazy tunnel vision. It looks fantastic.
It's beautiful, but what Russ is talking about is the crazy stuff that you could not only see but also do.
And tonally, it's so serious.
What's weird is it's like they had to make a Need for Speed game, and then they found places they could put the Burnout Paradise stuff.
Right.
Like there's an abandoned Air Force hangar that's been turned into like an X Games like type of place. There is this giant Central Park. Kind of European park type place where you can jump like hundreds of feet. I mean, just achieve like absurd heights that are like San Francisco Rush. There's this like modern public art that is, you know, in the middle of the square that you can drive on.
I don't approve of public art.
But there are those things. It's just it is multiple things at once.
Yeah.
It is a Need for Speed game, and it is a Burnout Paradise game.
I will say that over any other Burnout game, the multiplayer social hooks are like out of control.
Yeah, they've gotten very good at that.
It could be the like outline for integrating social features into your game, regardless of what platform you're working on. Because every single time I see like Shipwreck from Cheap Ass Gamer, like beat your time on this race by 3 seconds. It's like, well, oh,
look
shit.
At, look at this name go- dropping here. Fancy yeah, friends. Yeah, yeah. You're friends with Shipwreck.
Or maybe Tom Cruise.
Barack oh, Obama.
Yeah. Maybe me and Barry Obama.
Barry Obama. Yes.
But it's really well tied in. It's in the, you have a menu that you operate entirely with the D-pad, so you can use it while you're driving. One of the entire like menu categories is suggested things for you to do that are all tied into these things. Like it'll tell you this is an accomplishment that you can get with this one attachment for your car that nobody's gotten yet. So you can be the first person to do it and get bonus points.
Cool.
It'll
even Shipwreck?
Tell
you... Shipwreck hasn't gotten that yet?
No. Wow. I know. That's I expected crazy. Much, much more from him.
Really?
And it's like the speed wall before each race. It's basically, it's take like the, oh my God, I've got to beat that guy above me on the leaderboard mentality of like Geometry Wars 2 or Super Hexagon. But it's also tied into like a really rewarding progression system and single player race system. Like when you win a single player race and unlock the stuff, like some of those races are really hard, but when you beat it, it's like, yeah, I've got all this new stuff and I beat all the AI and I accomplished this mission. But then you've also got the speed wall there saying, well, yeah, you did it. But if you can shave like a few more seconds off your time, then you can beat this friend on your friends list. Like it's so seamlessly integrated.
How did you feel about the AI? Because that was the other thing that was a little bit off and on for me. There is a... Okay, yeah. I just want to bless this, even though Russ is giving the move
it's
on thing.
Me,
I,
no, run up,
I don't really give a crap because I think it's really interesting.
Ugh.
The when you're finishing laps in this game, and this happens on the beta version too, the front four people are always... they're a mile ahead of you until the final race. Like, I felt like I was never in a race until the end.
And until the final lap, you mean?
Until the final lap, yeah. And it's like, and there are a few things like that. I also felt like the police are used as rubber banding, where it would be like, if I somehow managed to get ahead really early on, the police would demolish me the second
I would be on one of those, like, land speed setting desert rockets.
Yeah.
And a police and, like, a Ford Escort would be keeping up with me. Like,
yeah,
there is some weirdness. I'm still finding it difficult to evade police. Like, the problem with the police is that it constantly, your wanted meter keeps going up as you are being chased by them. And once it reaches a certain point, they are just going to be on you like stink on shit. Like, they are unshakable at certain points. And what sucks is while you're being chased, you are building up points. The game has a leaderboard system, which all your friends show up on, and also like the top 10 in-game AI racers show up on. So you're constantly like passing people and being passed by people, and you can get points by doing races and events and stuff like that, but you can also get points by like leading the cops on this crazy chase. But you don't get all those points if you get busted. Oh. So you'll be like going racing,
snitches get
like,
stitches.
You'll be getting chased by the cops for like 10 minutes and build up like 30,000 points. Like, oh my God, if I can get away with this, and I just never have.
No. I don't want to brag, but 56,000.
Oh my God,
my record.
Wow, well, that's pretty good. Well done, gentlemen. You clearly are both racer extraordinaires.
It's a great game.
Racer.
It's
X's.
A great. I am not a racing game fan. The only game in this franchise in this whole genre I like is Burnout.
Yep.
And
me
this
too.
This fits the
scratches
so nice.
The Burnout itch, if you will.
Yeah.
Sure.
what about my punch itch?
That's a good question.
What about the itch to punch that I need sated?
If you had a desire to punch skeletons in the face, would Need for Speed Most Wanted really fulfill that desire?
I feel like it maybe wouldn't be the best.
I don't think you probably want to do that.
No.
There's no bipedal humanoids in Need for Speed at all. It's all cars.
That is a crime. That is a war crime is what that is. Because honestly, it's not a game if you're not punching bats in the face.
So we're talking about
Punch Quest. Oh yeah,
oh,
sorry.
No,
and that
you're right. Punch Quest.
Right.
Correct.
Punch Quest. So me and Justin played Punch Quest. Punch Quest is an iOS game. It is free to play, but do not let that discourage you because it is absolutely terrific. I'll give the rundown, and Justin, feel free to jump in here if I'm missing anything. Essentially, you are a gentleman or a lady. You can pick either one. And your objective is to run from left to right for as long as you can. Obviously, this is sounding familiar so far. But what you're introduced to is a series of RPG-esque mechanics as you're running from left to right, involving punching monsters and picking up treasure and executing combos and earning super moves. And it's essentially like a, you know, Forever Runner that we've seen many of, but with a very deep sort of combat RPG system built into it. And it's incredibly charming, and the art style is sort of like NES, Super NES era. And
can you kick?
No, you cannot kick.
No,
because that would be Kick Quest, and that is for racists.
Mm-hmm. Why?
Because racists like kicking.
I guess.
It doesn't.
Justin, what did you think about this game?
It's all right. I'm very susceptible to this sort of game, and we don't have a good genre descriptor for it. But it's
an auto runner.
Well, and
but it's so
an
auto
runner. But the key thing is the upgradability. There's tons of different powers you can buy, and mini missions for every run.
Right. That's those two things that you just said.
No, hold
part
on.
And parcel.
No, I'm gonna be more specific because Justin is selling it short. So in a lot of these temple runs, whatever, you're like, oh, I unlocked the invisibility power-up, and every once in a while I'll see the invisibility power-up. In this, it's closer to actually Call of Duty, where you're picking your perks almost and before you even start a round, and what you're trying to do is find that perfect balance of like, oh, these perks plus this equipment yields better result.
Is that really that, like...
That's a big difference.
Jetpack Joyride has that same stuff.
Yeah, so it's similar to Jetpack Joyride, but... Jetpack Joyride is very simplistic in terms of what you're doing. You're just dodging. You know, with single tap, you just dodge electricity, what have you. In this, you're literally, you've got straight punches, you've got uppercuts, and as you're building up your combo, your meter will increase, and as your meter increases, you earn more of the perks that you chose at the beginning of the round. So essentially, there's a lot of strategy into keeping your combo meter going so that you have all the perks going at once. And then you can mix it up once your round ends and try something new to try to get better ice.
See, okay, this is where we get into trouble, though.
What?
Strategy is overselling it.
No,
there's not a lot of strategy to keeping your combo meter going.
That's a lie.
You just keep punching. There's no point at which the answer is not to punch.
Well, that's actually not totally true, because if you punch like spikes, you're dead. You'll get killed.
Okay.
Right? You can't punch spikes.
I mean, guys, I don't want to take sides, but Russ makes a great point.
Yeah.
Okay, what about, can you punch fireballs, Russ?
No. Well, unless you have the perk that lets you reflect fireballs with a fist, which you can get. What up?
But I don't understand why they don't have that for spikes.
They do have for spike shields. You have that option, but not true spikes.
What I'm saying is that...
There's strategy to it. I honestly believe there is.
Okay, but not in the gameplay. That's what bothers me.
Yeah, in the
gameplay,
there is.
What?
Okay, I'm telling you, so you're going up against a certain...
Punch and don't get killed.
A certain enemy has different ways around it. You might jump over the enemy. You might do a slam attack on the enemy. You might block first, let the enemy attack, and then attack him.
It has the strategy of, say, rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah,
except
there's a lot of strategy in that.
Punch, upper punch, punch in
I'm
the air.
I'm pretty sure the world was saved by rock, paper, scissors in a little movie called War Games, so...
Okay. Boom. I don't know. It hasn't grabbed me. I think the powers themselves are not different enough, and they aren't laid out in such a way that you can really tell what the difference is for some of them. For some of them, it's pretty obvious, but... For others, it's not as prevalent. And I also don't see why, and maybe I just don't know where to look, but after I finish a thing, it doesn't make my score, it doesn't show me how I rank in my all-time scores. It shows me how I rank against friends.
Oh, yeah, it'll show you local scores as well in the scores list.
But, like, it doesn't show me, oh, what do you mean? It shows...
It'll show both friends and all the scores that you've done locally.
Yeah, that's weird. That's poorly done.
Well, I thought that's what you wanted, was seeing both friends.
No, it's very poorly handled.
It's visually poorly handled.
You're looking at a leaderboard, and when you scroll to the very bottom, or you know, wherever you end up on it, wherever one of your score slots in it just says local in big letters.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
I like the game. I've played it a bit. It's fun. It's fun to play. Like, in the controls are sublime.
Yeah.
I just don't, like, every piece of press I've seen on it is like, this is the new free-to-play mobile Messiah. This is Jesus the video game.
I think a lot of that has to do with, you know, the standards being so low for free-to-play games. I think it's a very, very good free-to-play game. But obviously, you know, people...
It's fun. I'm not saying it's bad. It's just, like, it's not going to hook me in the way that, like,
Game Dev Story,
10 million...
Well, those are all four pay games. I do want to say one thing about the character customization, which I found really cool, is that it's very robust. So you're picking your hat, you're picking your facial mustache, you're picking your skin color, your pant color.
Do you get to pick your ass mustache too?
You do, actually.
Guys, I've been working with this ass Fu Manchu lately. It's awful. When I wear my running shorts, the tails hang out both pant legs.
That's very awkward.
It's real bad.
And to be honest, I really like the game, and I feel a little bad because the game is tanking financially, because inside the game, it's very difficult to find how you give these people money. And
for a free game, they do not prioritize their monetization.
And even when you do find it, it's not really like stuff that you'd really necessarily want to pay for. It's just like a bunch of coins that effectively you can get just by playing the game.
I feel like such a shitty person, because when I play a game that I'm excited about and then it comes out and then like you turn it on and within the first 5 minutes it's like you can unlock 12 more rainbow pops for $1.99, I'll delete it right away from my iPad and say, oh, I hate all these payment options. And then when I play a game like this and then it tanks, I'm like, well, maybe you should have put more payment options in there, bro.
Right, exactly. I think it's a very tough road to walk to not piss people off on either side. Unfortunately, I think they went with the softer hand, and it's screwing them now. It's like basketball, essentially. Same thing happened to that game.
I still haven't found a good way to do it. Even when a game's super good. You remember Super Magical? And you guys play that one?
Mm-hmm. No.
It's a really, really good like bubble pop game, sort of with like RPG mechanics laced into it. But you would hit these walls where like, oh, you need this flying tiger to make it to the next level. Awful. And it costs you 80,000 coins, which you will never ever get unless you pay $1.99 for it. It's like, I'm an adult.
Griffin, like, are you still playing that Super Monsters 8-My combo?
That game has always been the purview of my GF. I played it a little bit. She's the one who's really taken it and run with it.
Here's like my bummer about that game. I think I brought that once, and it's a great game. I just want to hit this really quick. Russ, it's a great game. It's super competitive. It's like a Tetris type of thing that, you know, I can play on the subway. I have gotten to an absurd level of high scores for that game. But to be competitive with high scores, I have to keep buying the three boosts that I need to like basically play boosts. The game on top tier level. And if that game let me
pay... Is that the level that Shipwreck plays at? Top tier?
Yeah, top tier.
Okay.
If it let me pay $10 or $15 to just have those boosts unlocked for all eternity, and I can just play this game the way it's meant to be played for you to, you know, compete with
everyone
else.
Yeah, it's like Triple Town is like that too, where you can buy unlimited turns, and then like, you don't have to worry about it anymore.
And now I can compete with the leaderboard.
Yep.
That'd be great.
That seems like such a cheap... That is like among my least favorite like microtransaction models.
The boost?
Regardless of how good you are at the game, this guy who's paying a little bit more money is going to beat your score. Then I'm just going to stop playing the game.
And games like You Don't Know Jack on Facebook actually label people when they use those boosts.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, whatever, I don't care. They use the boost. They weren't even competing. So it's good to indicate like who's paying money. But yeah, when it's hidden, that's crap. That's total crap.
Man, I forgot about that. For my money, You Don't Know Jack on Facebook is the best free-to-play model. I wonder how they're doing financially.
I can't imagine very well, because I've never had a reason to pay money for that, unless they're doing ad-supported, which I don't see any ads on it. But other, like, the system itself is brilliant.
Anyway,
I think we need to pick a game, and I think probably Punch Quest.
Need
for Speed. Need for Speed was the only thing people okay, fine. So Need for Speed wins, but I will fight tooth and nail to keep Dishonored.
I think we got to retire. Dishonored's been... I know a lot of those episodes haven't been released because of how bad they were, but...
Two shows, or one show that... So Dishonored came out 2 weeks ago, effectively.
Okay.
I don't want to do this.
I don't want to get rid of Dishonored, but God damn, Need for Speed.
No. Dishonored is...
No, you have not played for Need for Speed.
I have. I played at a preview event.
No, that does not count.
It counts.
No, not even close.
I will fight to the death over Dishonored.
Guys, I'm going to I don't care much about rules, so I'm gonna retire Dishonored, and I hope that you join me in this, and then we can have Need for Speed, and we can get to this brawl when it matters.
It's not.
Let's postpone. Listen. I'm coming down with Chris on this. I have enjoyed my time with Need for Speed more than I enjoyed my time with Dishonored.
You guys,
so let's table this. Let's come back to it at the end of the year.
Fine.
You guys, Dishonored. Let's put it on that beautiful golden yacht. Let's send it off into the sunset. We'll get back to it. We'll get back to it in God, like a month and a half. Holy shit! This year, where's my life going?
It's getting there. It's getting there.
Okay. Thank you. So Dishonored, we'll get back. We'll catch you on the flip.
Fine. So, Modern Warfare 3 driving wins. What's it called?
What?
Need for Speed. Most wanted.
I think you had it right the first time. Congratulations.
Can we do a brief aside really quick? Congratulations, Need for Speed. Is the Vita version actually all that people are rapping about?
Yes and no. It is the exact same game, right? Like, it's the same world, the same cars. You're, in theory, playing the same game. There are fewer racers on a track. But it looks like ass.
Dog
like,
do.
Like, it looks like the tech demo that they made to, you know, kind of test out the wireframes of the game or whatever words I'm just going to throw. They're like, no textures. The lighting is this, like, weird texture that comes
stuff doesn't
you.
Really matter to me as much on a mobile game, though.
Here's the other thing. When you are playing, you know how fast that game gets, right?
Yeah.
And you need to be able to see a lot of things without some of the visual cues, it can be really hard to catch.
That's a good point. When I'm playing regular turns. Big TV size Need for Speed, I need to be like 6 inches from the set to see the headlights in front of me. Like,
yeah,
I can see how that could be a problem.
But at the same time, who cares, man? It's Need for Speed, and you can play it whenever you want.
I think the person that paid $60 would care, or $50 would care. So recommend a version of it.
No, it's not that much money. And two, if you are obsessed like myself and Griffin, you will probably want to buy it. These are games I would buy on my own.
Two copies. You're going to buy two copies of the same
game. Yeah, and they connect. You can increase your speed points.
Using Kinect?
And you can use iOS to increase your speed
I think you're making
points.
Up all this stuff.
Nope. This is real.
And Kinect support, you're saying?
Oh, there is Kinect support.
How come I can't see your speed points, Chris? Is it because your Xbox is underwater or something?
Oh, fuck. I hope. I don't know. That's really concerning. You're friends with me, right? Oh, you're not friends with me on Origin.
Oh, God. Can we revote? Because if Origin is hugely integrated into this.
It is.
Oh, my God.
Friend me on Origin. It's my same
that
username.
That is terrible.
No, I'm not friends with shit on Origin, and I see people on there.
You can't see your PSN friends list through this?
I don't know.
I'm telling you, it is integrated into Xbox Live. Because I don't even. I have an Origin account, but I have not gone in to make Origin buds with a Z
trademark. Now
I'm
freaked out. My high scores better be up there.
We'll see.
I'm pissed.
With that, what do you think, Justin? I think we should wrap it up.
Yeah, we're gonna call it. Thank you for joining us here on the Besties. We'll be sure to be back next Friday. We won't go so long without seeing you. We miss you so much.
We had to do some soul searching. We
had to really go on that journey.
Had to get in that big teepee, light up some peyote, and we had to really explore ourselves, figure out what our destinies are, talk to the stars.
So thank you for joining us for this journey to the stars. Go look for us on iTunes. Our RSS feed might have gotten kind of messed up a little bit, but we're there now. We got new art. It's great. Tell a friend that they need to listen to this, and we'll get buck wild on them.
Who do we have to thank for our new dope theme song?
We pay for it, so I don't want to thank anybody.
Well, the guy who composed it, his name is Ian, isn't it?
Yeah, but I don't want to thank anybody. I don't want to thank Ian for making it. Because we pay, it wasn't a favor.
Oh, I see.
Right.
So it's sort of like when I go to Subway and I eat my Subway sandwich. I don't say, Subway engineer, thank you for preparing this for me to eat. Because I gave them $6 for it.
Yeah.
Right. So thank you to Ian Dorsch for making our theme song.
True or false, that whole tirade was because you could not remember his last name.
It's hard to say, but we do appreciate it. For those of you that missed the old music, it's just time. You gotta keep it fresh,
or something.
Thank you for joining us on the Besties. Make sure to join us again next week for the Besties, because shouldn't the world's best friends pick the world's best games?